So losing money in real estate can be absolutely devastating, and it can cause a lot of angst for women investors. So we're going to be diving into this topic on today's mini-sode and sharing with you four specific steps to move through this very, very hard and tough situation with grace and power. Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli.
So Andressa, I have had my share of money losses, and I know these are not easy to talk to, or I'm not proud of necessarily, but I've had a number of them over the years, and many women listening have had these as well, different amounts of money, different situations, and it's a big deal, right? There's a lot of shame, there's a lot of angst around it, right?
Yeah, and because nobody is so excited to go around and post it on Instagram, on Facebook, their stories about how they lost money and what they did wrong, what could they have prevented. We don't see those stories there. We feel that we are alone, that nobody else is going through, nobody else made the mistakes. And we want to break that down for all of you that might be going through it as you are listening.
So, Andressa, just two times I want to share when I've lost money, and these both of these times, these were devastating for different reasons. First time, you just learned about last week, was when Matt and I first started investing. We had about $50,000 in his 401k, which we converted to a self-directed. And there was a person we had met at a networking event who was doing land development in the South. And it just sounded like a great opportunity, the returns, et cetera. Very, very basic agreement, like it's incredibly basic now in hindsight, that we signed to lend him and his team $50,000. The property ended up being completely going nowhere, and we had no sort of lien. We had no sort of ability to get the money back, which, again, we've learned in years. This was, I think, within the first 2 years of us investing, going really off his word and his, just going off his word and the opportunity, not so much the operator, right? So that was pretty devastating. We never got that money back. We filed a various claims and just never got that money back. And it, you know, really, really, we questioned who we were and questioned, should we keep investing, right? But you have to learn from it. And there was a lot of things we learned and made better the next time. Now, you also know about the last big money loss was when we, $706,000 was stolen from us from a 1031 exchange custodian in the last 5 years. And this was not just our money, but about seven investors' money. And there's a lot of podcasts we've recorded on this, right, Andressa? But the bottom line with that situation is we were in a different stage of our business and, again, learned a lot from that experience. And quite honestly, got three quarters of that back, made everybody whole. It worked out, but there were lessons along the way. And these brought a lot of shame. These brought a lot of questioning our caliber. So I want to go over the four steps to kind of give everyone listening.
Before you do that, can I ask you a question? Because
yes.
I'm curious about this. You lost money in two different stages of your career, right?
Correct.
So at the beginning, when you lost 50, you could, quote unquote, blame on your lack of experience for doing that. Do you think it was harder the second time?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was harder in the sense of you grow in so many ways, right? You have so many different experiences. At that point, we had hundreds of properties under management, under control. So we had a level of confidence, right, that we weren't new to the business. Now, every time you grow and expand, you're doing new things in the business. So that was actually one of our first times doing a 1031, selling one of our investment properties with a host of investors and putting that money into a newer project. That act was new. That actual step was new for us. So I think as business owners and as investors, the business itself may not be new, right? The buying an apartment building wasn't new. But when we dial in what was new about it, that was new. And there were certain things we should have done better with that choice, if that makes sense.
Julie.
Yeah. Great, great question. So keeping me honest,
I've been doing this for a while.
Keeping me honest, Andressa, so we keep it real on this podcast,
yeah,
right?
Because a lot of people are like, ashamed. They're experiencing real estate, and then they really don't want to talk about, right? And you always say like mitigating the risk and like not doing multiple new things at the same time. That was the behind the question here. But
yeah, love it. So let's get into this first step, because you need a process. You don't need. We encourage you to have a process to move through this really tough emotionally, mentally, and physically situation. It's not just the loss of money in and of itself. There's a lot we make meaning of in this process that we really want to dial in and break down. So number one, which Andres and I love because we've been through workshops where we've done this and we've done all of this. I've actually used this process when I was moving through the last time we lost money. So number one is rewrite and share your story. So literally, this is the action step. Write down what happened. What happened? How you felt, everything around that story, if you will, why you believe this, you know, the loss occurred, all the above, and write it and don't type it. We'd encourage you to write it because there's something about writing. And then, Andressa, what are they going to do after they write the story?
It's one of my favorite English words. Regurgitate.
You really do love the word regurgitate.
Right? Don't I say everywhere I go?
And rampage, but that's
rampage,
okay.
Which I found out that it's not what I meant to say. Rampage was like when somebody start rambling, and that's not what it is. So now I'm using rambling.
Good. I'm proud of you.
Versus rampage. So thank you for that.
But why is this so important to do in writing the story? And when do they do after they've written it once?
They're going to share. And they're going to share, and they're going to share, and they're going to share. When I went through the same exact exercise, on the fifth time that I was reading that, I started getting exhausted with the details. I didn't want to read the details. I started skipping the details. And then on the 10th, and I'm not kidding, 10th, 15th time, I started, okay, this doesn't matter. This detail doesn't matter. I feel this is just a part of like a healing process that at the end of the day, you're going to summarize this story and not allow all those details to live rent free inside your brain and take all your energy. So the more you talk about it, faster you get to the point there and like, okay, that doesn't matter anymore. Don't care about that anymore. This is the story, very succinct, very short, to the point.
And we always say, you know, we're coming off our Strive Higher retreat. Something we talked about is a wound and a scar. And as you're working through this very heavy money loss and making sense of it, trying to move through it with grace and letting go of the shame, there's a wound, right? The wound is open. And whenever there's a wound open, like there's something on our arm and it's a cut, it hurts. But what we want to move it to is actually like a scar. So we see it, it's there, it's just not as, it doesn't hurt as badly. And it's something that we can look back on and say, okay, this is what we learned from that. That's why that scar is there. A wound is a little open and a little more intense. So that's what the thinking here is. How do we move from those two pieces? And again, keep sharing it with people, not random people, right, Andressa? Obviously, these are people that are in your trusted circle. These are people you feel safe with. That's why we're so committed to building Invest Her, both locally, nationally, globally, so women have that safe space. So make sure it's people that you feel safe with. All right, here's number two. After you've done that, and that seems like such a simple thing, Andressa, but that's going to take you some time. And I highly encourage, don't skip that. Do it, because then that story is going to feel more objective and less emotional. Now you're in a state that you can do number two. Analyze the loss. And so many people, Andressa, go right to analyzing what happened first versus removing themselves from the situation a little bit and getting a little less emotionally charged. So let's talk about analyzing the loss and why that's so important. You really want to assess what was in your control and what was something that was not in your control. And there's probably a bullet points of both of those, you know, both controllable and non-controllable. Why is that so important? It's so important, right, Andressa? Because there's certain things in business, as an entrepreneur, as a real estate investor, that are absolutely in our control, that we need to learn from and say, okay, we're going to do this differently next time. And then there's things out of our control. But yet what happens, right? We see it all the time, and just with the women in our community, they beat themselves up for all the non-controllables. We can't control the market.
Or you have also the other side of the spectrum, a lot of blame on other things and not taking responsibility and accountability for the controllables, right? So it's both like both different perspectives, not right or wrong, but we want to shine a light on things that are under your control and others that aren't. And how can you mitigate that?
With my situation, with the recent situation with the 1031, we choose as the operator, right? We were the general partner. We were taking the money. You know what I've learned from years of speaking? The right stage doesn't just amplify your message. It builds your credibility. It positions you as a leader people remember. So what sets the top 1% of entrepreneurs apart? Authority. And nothing builds faster than stepping onto the TEDx stage with over 43 million YouTube subscribers. It is the biggest platform for ideas that spread like wildfire. Leader is making this possible. They're the number one company helping people land TEDx talks with over 650 talks booked for their clients. Want in? Head over to leader.co/events to book your free TEDx strategy session. That's leader.co/events. They'll help you refine your message, create a custom plan, and as a bonus, they'll even guarantee your first 50,000 views. Again, that's leader.co/events, leader.co/events. That we sold an 18 unit, had that capital plus the profit in our hands to say, okay, we're going to do a 1031 into this 200 unit with a number of other investors. That was our controllable with choosing the 1031 exchange custodian. Now, something else that was in our control that we weren't as knowledgeable about, that was a lack for us, was that 1031 custodians are not a highly regulated area. It's not like a bank or a title company. It's kind of like the Wild Wild West. Someone goes and says, I want to be a 1031 exchange custodian. They get their certificate, whatever that means, and they then are one of those. We had asked for references, Andresa, in our defense, we did ask for references. However, these are references of people that didn't know us we had no relationship with. What we should have done, one of the biggest learned lessons is that when you're bringing people in to the referrals with people on your team, like our accountant, our attorney, that's who we should have probably gotten a custodian from, a recommendation versus a Google search, right? It seems like such a simple thing.
Yeah. But you know, another thing that after the fact that it was you could label it non-controllable, but you guys change it to a controllable is how you solve the situation, because you could have told all the investors the money was stolen, right? Plain and simple. And once we get the money, you get the money. But that's not what you guys did. You made them whole. You made that a controllable. So I just wanted you to shine the light a little bit on how you did that.
Yeah. Well, there was one step that came before us making the investors whole was we had a building to buy, right? We were 2 weeks away from closing on this new building, this 200 unit. And obviously we were shy. We weren't shy to 7,000. We were about shy 500,000 because the 200 was earmarked to do some initial construction and turns of apartments, et cetera. So we were half a million shy with no knowledge of where to get this from. Now, at that point, you have to lean into strengths that you bring to the table. And we had built relationships with a lot of people in this business that we always say money in the bank with. And we made a few calls and we had gotten a short-term loan. That's hard to find people who are going to lend you $500,000 within 2 weeks. And now that obviously wasn't for free. It was like 15% interest, ridiculously high interest rate. But regardless, we got to closing. So when you're in these situations, do what's in front of you to do. Now, the next thing we have is now a building that we have eight GPs who now don't own anything of that they're supposed to, because the money was their ownership and their money is gone. So the positive there is that we owned obviously a chunk of the GP side. So we said, okay, what do we have to give to these investors? And that's what we ended up giving. Not giving, but making the decision to make them whole by equity versus by money. And so that was hard though, not hard for them, hard for us, because you work so hard and we maybe had like 2% of the building. And this is a turnaround building. So we weren't really getting paid on any end. So that's something you have to swallow, especially when you're in business. What's right? What's the right thing to do here? And everything will work out. And it did, but not easy to swallow for people not willing to make that chance. Okay. So I want to get to number three here. Step three. After you've written the story, you've shared it with people, you start to, you know, move away from the emotion of it. You're analyzing the loss. Now, number three is actually reframing the loss. Now, you've analyzed the loss, which is great, but you really need to have that moment of, okay, what did this really teach me? Yes, I should have asked my accountant or attorney for a 1031 exchange. That's a little superficial. That is something I learned, but there's something bigger there. And here's the bigger piece that I learned in terms of teaching is not moving so fast. Not moving so fast on decisions. Yes, there are decisions you need to move fast on. But sometimes decisions that require building a team or, you know, making those kind of financial decisions, some kind of taking it slow is needed. And we were moving quickly. And I know Matt, you know, not to throw him under the bus, but I have this behavior too. He kind of waited the last minute to find a 1031. So at the last minute, you're gonna find whoever you can find, ask a couple of people how they work with that person and move forward. So that's a deeper learning. And I think for all these situations, right, Andressa, there's like the superficial, what we learned, but then there's like, what do we really learn about us as investors and as entrepreneurs that is a little bit deeper than just the surface, I should have asked my accountant for 1031.
And I think that requires the ego to be put aside for a second, right? And then when you start observing it, how does that behavior is showing up in past decisions? So you kind of like start seeing a pattern of behaviors. And the reason why you want to know that is that so you can adjust moving forward, you can mitigate the risk and say, okay, so how can I adjust? And how can I move forward? Being myself, but then at the same time, being mindful and aware of how I'm coming across and the impact on it.
Yeah. And those decisions about people are always decisions we actually take a little longer on. We trust, but we verify. We have multiple conversations. We have other team members connect with them. There's a process that we go about to really protect ourselves, if you will, versus just jumping in, right? So here's number four. And the key to just to wrap up step three is to fail forward, analyze it, learn from it, and then say, okay, I'm going to move on now. I'm not going to keep sitting in this place of regurgitating, as you like to say, right, Andressa, making the mistake, because that's not going to help you move through it, right? And so number four is all about kind of reaffirming your why, reaffirming your values, and saying, what is my new goal? Because you still have a goal that you want to invest in real estate, build generational wealth. And that's not to be dismissed, right? Oh, well, I'm never going to touch real estate again. Well, that could be a choice you make, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the right choice, because now there's a learning there that you're going to be able to use in the next situation. So always recommend in this stage or this step, excuse me, is to reconnect with your why. I think that's always important to get kind of reconnected with what. Why are you investing in real estate? Why is this important to you, your family, you know, the legacy part? And then to say, okay, what am I going to do next? What is that next goal that I have? There's a woman in our community that has been through losing money, a number of women that have lost money, but one in particular. And she's interested in looking into a whole new niche of, you know, land development. So she's going to research that land development. Okay. Research the land development and then say, okay, what can I do to start rebuilding my confidence? You know, okay, I'm going to take a step to research. Then I'm going to bring it to the community to say, hey, does anybody know about doing land development in XYZ state or what have you? It's just taking little baby steps in something you're interested in and getting support from others. That is the key, right? Andressa, that's what we always say. It's not about researching and staying in your own little area, especially if you're moving through a loss. You cannot stay by yourself.
Yeah, I always say you got to make your future so exciting and bigger than your past, right? Otherwise, you're going to be looking back. And there is a crucial decision here. If somebody's living rent-free in your head, and if you haven't forgiven them, if you haven't let go of them, if you still talk about people and how unfair he was and how they made things wrong decisions that were not fair to you, they are consuming your energy. And I really want you to picture this. Imagine their dead bodies on top of your shoulders. That's how much the weight is of you choosing to carry. And many of you are carrying multiple people around and you don't know why you're exhausted, right? So that's a decision. That is a process that you got to go through and let people go. Bless them. They did their job to teach you what they needed to teach and move forward powerfully.
I love that. So in summary, step one, rewrite and share your story. Don't compromise that. Do that, rewriting that story, sharing with others, analyze the loss, what was in your control, what wasn't in your control, then reframe the loss, right? And really get the lesson, the lessons that you need to get, not just superficially, but in a little bit of a deeper way. And the fourth thing is reaffirm your values and set that new goal. And definitely forgiveness needs to be part of that. So thank you so much for listening. Do something with what you're learning and know that you are much bigger than any loss you will ever experience.
Thank you. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion, so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.